The Summer of Football at 8 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
To be part of a great team, here's Hilton blitzing off the slot again. Passer Hopkins. Oh, my goodness. Did he catch that? Did he catch that? That's the touchdown catch of the year.
Shotgun snap. Swing pass. Left side early on the screen. 20. Got a block. 25. Into space. 40.
And he's
Todd Gurley hits the jet midfield.
He's gone.
Todd Gurley. 20. 10. Gurley for MVP. Touchdown LA.
Early stages. Second point. Popped up in the air. Intercepted. Eddie Jackson. Jackson is still going. Another defensive highlight. Touchdown Bears.
The Summer of Football.
Rob gets it. Hands off to Sony Michel. What a hole down the right side. 10-5. Touchdown. Sony Michel rips off another big one. This time for 38 yards.
Breaking into open field and on the run is Josh Adams. Josh Adams inside the 30 and the 20 and the 10 and all the way home for yet another super run.
Here's Barkley. Big hole. Left side 20. He's to the 30. Avoids the tackle down the far left sideline. They can't catch him. 10-5. Barkley high steps it across the goal line. 92-yard touchdown run.
The Summer of Football with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
It is the Summer of Football. Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So glad you're with me the day after 4th of July. Hope that you had a great holiday. Open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is the telephone number. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweet J Hood. Also on the Facebook wall, facebook.com. We'll have Howard Griffith, the two-time Super Bowl champion and analyst for college football for the Big Ten Network. We'll talk to him coming up in 6 minutes from now here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Summer football is very simple. Every night at 8 o'clock, we talk something football. No one gets ahead of football like I do every single summer. We always give you something NFL, give you something Bears, give you something college football. And Howard's going to give you all three, I think. He's going to give us a little Bears thoughts. He'll give us some college thoughts as well. Since he covers the Big Ten, I'm going to ask him who's the favorite of the Big Ten. So if you're a Big Ten fan or know of one, tell him we got some college football conversation mixed in with the NFL here this half hour. Tales from the Hood at the bottom of the hour. Stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. Like this one, LeBron James yachting with Jimmy Iovine. Oh, boy. Already into that L.A. mode. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Part of Tales from the Hood right here on ESPN 1000. So glad you're in today. So much to talk about here the day after the 4th of July. I wanted, before we hear some sound bites from around the NFL to keep you abreast of what's being said, this coming across my screen just moments ago from the New York Daily News. President Donald Trump bashes the NFL again. Calls revised national anthem policy worse. So President Trump is not yet ready to end its war against the National Football League. Trump, who has repeatedly clashed with the NFL since entering the Oval Office, lambasted the league for its revised national anthem policy during a rally for Republican Senate candidate Matt Rosendale in Montana today. So as I scroll down this piece, of course, the NFL's come under fire in recent years for not requiring players to stand during the playing of the national anthem. It's a very polarizing issue. I know it's been talked about sports radio, online, news, sports, entertainment. Everyone's been talking about it. But per CBS News, Trump says, due to the intense criticism, the NFL revised its national anthem policy in May. Under the new rule, players are required to stand during the national anthem if they're on the field, but are given the option to remain in the locker room if they prefer. Trump says, isn't that worse than not standing? That doesn't play. I actually think it's, in many ways, worse. Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, said the goal of the league's new anthem policy was to be respectful. We want people to be respectful for the national anthem, Goodell said. We want people to stand. That's all personnel, and we want to make sure that they treat this moment in a respectful fashion. That's something we think we owe, but we are also sensitive to give players choices. And so President Trump in a rally in Montana said, isn't that worse than not standing? The idea that the players are given an option to stay in the locker room. He says that doesn't play. I actually think in many ways it's worse. I read this story to you to tell you this. At the time that the National Football League, Roger Goodell and the owners decide to all come together, for the most part come together, because there's some that were not down with this, but there was the majority of the NFL owners, when they said, let's revise the national anthem policy and do something different with it, they wanted to appease the president. Because the president was definitely talking about it on Twitter, talking about it in the press. And so the NFL came together, without the Players Association, by the way. They came together and they decided that this is what they want to do. They wanted to make sure that they have some kind of policy in place where everybody has to stand for the national anthem. And if you prefer to go, if you don't want to stand for the national anthem, you can be in the locker room until the anthem is over, and then you can come out. And even President Trump doesn't think that that's a good idea. Here's my point. You don't bend over backwards just because the president or just because a governor or just because a political figure feels a certain way about certain things. It's not like if since President Trump doesn't think that that's a good idea, that he's going to make sure that there's no NFL next season. It's not that. It's not like that he is just going to unplug the league, say, oh, anthem policy is terrible. No NFL for anybody. That's not what's happening here. If you're on the wrong side of what a president has to say or a governor has to say, you just run your business the way you want to run your business. You don't worry about perception. But the NFL so worried about perception. Meanwhile, the NBA, Major League Baseball, they're still running it the way they want to run it. But the NFL is so afraid of what President Trump has to say, they have to be able to acquiesce and bend over backwards for what President Trump wants. And guess what? Now President Trump doesn't even agree with the policy you put in place. So now what, NFL? See? In a matter in which you could tell, as I mentioned, people will tell you the sky is orange when players of color will tell you that we are disappointed in what's going on in our streets. In my hometown, in the city that I'm playing in, I'm mad that there has been police brutality, because you can't turn a blind eye to that, because you just turn on your Facebook, you just turn on your Twitter, and all of a sudden there is videos of this happening all across this country. And so players saying, hey, you know, I'm against police brutality. We've got to stop this. We got to find a way to have a conversation about this. And so that's why I'm protesting. And when they say that, well, that's not the reason. They're just disrespecting the flag, they're disrespecting the military, even though that's not what they say. This is what I'm talking about. And so even when they felt, man, now we got a nice thing in place where, okay, you know, if they want to protest police brutality and bring in awareness of social justice issues, they could do it in the locker room. Now President Trump will be happy. President Trump's not happy. So you tried to do what you could to try to appease the president. And guess what you did? He's not even happy with that policy. So now you got to move the goalpost again. You got to do something else to make him happy. If you're Roger Goodell, don't be weak. Just do what you think is best. You're going to change it again for the president? It's crazy. Some stories around the National Football League. Here's how we take a look at it here. How about this around the NFL? Patrick Peterson was on the NFL Network. He says that he's been very impressed with rookie quarterback Josh Rosen.
I'm very impressed, especially when he was able to come in. I kid you not, after the draft, they had their rookie mini camps before they all came together with the vets. And to see him make checks and get guys in line early, I was like, have this guy been here before? I was very, very impressed. Off his spring camp, his mini camp, OTAs, just been extremely sharp. And obviously I don't really pay too much attention to the pre-draft, breakdowns, or if he was a bad teammate, or if he gets his head, this, that, and other. We don't know what type of quarterback you may get. Honestly, since he's been with us, he's been the total opposite of what you hear, you know, from the media, or you hear from, you know, outside people, you know, but the way he's able to grasp the offense right now and get guys in line right now is very, very impressed with that. And as far as his throwing motion and his throwing motion and his quarterback IQ and his pocket presence is, and all that stuff is it's off the charts. Well, I mean, I've never seen a rookie come through and come on a team and do some of the things that he's doing.
Patrick Peterson pretty strong on Josh Rosen. Rosen coming in, of course, with a chip on his shoulder, feeling that he should have been drafted a lot higher. We will see how that works in the NFL. Peterson also says that Larry Fitzgerald, he isn't done.
I think it depends on how the season goes, as far as how his body feels. But my gut feeling, I'm saying, is not his last year, because, but you never know how the year goes. But he's playing too well, you know, at this point of his career. You know, you normally see guys who get past that 32, 33 mark, they start to decline. It just seems like Larry just staying on that steady pace to where he just continued to etch his name in history. Almost every guy teased him all the time. It's like almost every game he's breaking a record. Like, my guy, I mean, how much longer you want to do this? He's like, man, you know, I'm never full, my guy. I'm never full. So I can see him playing another year, but it also depends on how his body holds up throughout the season.
Tyrod Taylor, Jarvis Landry, tell me how he looks.
Amazing. Amazing, man. And just, you know, his leadership, his arm, his accuracy, and he's ready, man. He's the starting quarterback, and you know, I'm sure that obviously that decision is to Hugh and, you know, the offensive staff and stuff like that. But I'm sure that they've been highly impressed with what he's done through OTAs and the training camp, mini camp that we have.
And Jarvis Landry from the NFL Network talking about Taylor. Bill O'Brien from the NFL Network talking about Deshaun Watson.
He's come a long way, obviously.
All right, that's enough, Bill O'Brien. That's enough. Quarterback killer. That's enough. Hopefully, what I want to see from Deshaun Watson is him be able to overcome Bill O'Brien as the head coach of the Texans. Don't listen to the coach. Just do you, Watson. Am I right, Davis? Just do you. Don't worry about him.
Just do you, baby.
Come on, coach. It's a quarterback killer.
It's amazing. He couldn't coach up any other quarterback that played for that team. But they want to give him credit for Deshaun Watson.
He's come a long way, obviously.
That's enough. As you listen to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood, so glad you're with us. We turn now to a two-time Super Bowl champion, analyst for the Big Ten Network. It is Chicago's own Howard Griffith, and he's with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Howard, Jonathan Hood, thanks so much for your time.
Hey, my man, how are you, Hoodie?
I'm good, man. That's enough of that Bill O'Brien now. That's enough of that. I want to hear. I want Deshaun Watson to just do him. Just don't worry about
it. Hey, man, you're pretty hard on him, man.
Who?
You don't think he's a good coach?
I think he's a terrific
coach. Bill O'Brien.
I think he's a fine college coach, yes.
What does he need to do to take the next step professionally?
Professionally, he needs to go. He needs to step down and go to college. That's his next step. I think he could tutor college quarterbacks. I just don't, on the NFL level. How many quarterbacks he's gone through, Howard? That's enough. Ooh. I want Deshaun to be able to win despite Bill O'Brien on the sidelines on that and that red ass he's got over there.
You know what? It will be fun to watch. You know, seeing Deshaun Watson healthy for a whole season, obviously, you know, it'll help the Texans an awful lot because he's a special talent. And we saw that at the college level. Now we just need to see him stay healthy at the pro level. But he was off to a fast start before the injury.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it because I think he's going to be a terrific pro. Got the arm. I think he has the mobility. I'm looking forward to it. So, man, yeah. Tell me about your 4th of July. Get me there. Get me to your backyard. What was that like yesterday for you?
Well, you know what? We weren't in my backyard. We were at my in-laws.
Mm-hmm.
So get this, Eddie. So my in-laws get some non-stick aluminum foil, right? Now, we put this on the top of the grill, right? So it wasn't to cover the grates and whatever. All of a sudden, it just caught fire. I've never seen aluminum foil do this before. But then again, we never used this non-stick aluminum foil, which kind of sounds like a little bit of an oxymoron. But, I mean, it's like I've never seen it. So anyway, we saw a big fire, and everybody was a little concerned about the fire. So we got that taken care of. So, you know, other than that, the barbecue was great. Family was great. But yeah, we had a little bit of an adventure with the non-stick aluminum foil.
Oh, man. That could have been serious, man.
Well, I don't know if it would have been serious, but I got to tell you, it was a little troubling. It was a little troubling. Because here's what happened. So, you know, so my in-laws, it's just, my father-in-law and mother-in-law, they obviously live together. So they wanted us to take all the food home. So my sister-in-law is flown in town from New York, and she makes this great potato salad. So she puts the potato salad in a bowl, and she covers it with some of the non-stick aluminum foil.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at it when we get it home, and it's like maybe somebody had sprinkled parsley on top of it, because there was some parsley used. But you know, so I was looking at this thing, and then all of a sudden she pulled it out, and it was like the potato salad was eating away at the non-stick aluminum foil. So this, our issue was non-stick aluminum foil the entire day, and even to that. It's like, what is going on? It had all these little holes in it. It's really problematic for us. I suggest you don't worry about non-stick aluminum foil from here on out.
I don't know
if I can do that, but I'm not a believer. It almost set the grill on fire. That sent my mother-in-law and father-in-law into a little bit of a spat about we need to get a new grill. He doesn't want to get a new grill because he's had that one. He only uses grill 3 or 4 times a year. Well, mother-in-law was like, we need a new grill. That's the end of that. We watched that, so that was hilarious. I mean, so that it was about the grill and the non-stick aluminum foil. That was my night.
Hey, you're watching all this happen. You're not saying a word, are you?
No, I'm staying out of the way. Staying out of the way. I know my place. Just trying to stay out of the way and not make too many waves.
Oh, man, that's good. That's good. You did the right thing. Just watch it all take place.
Watch, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Howard Griffin from the Big Ten Network with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I want to get your quick thoughts about the Bears before I ask you some college football thoughts. So with Matt Nagy in place as the head coach, what are your expectations? What makes a successful season for the Bears and with their first-year coach, Nagy?
Well, you know, I think people immediately say, the first thing they say is, well, you got to be competitive, right? That's the level-headed fans say you got to be competitive. The fans that believe you know, the Bears are the greatest thing since sliced bread, believe they should win the division and go on to the playoffs and do all these great things. I think they're getting better. I think they've done some things to the roster that's improved them. I like the fact that they've brought in some new blood, the so-called retread. They haven't done that. And I think it's going to energize them. I really do like Mitch Trubisky at quarterback, and I think he's going to do some wonderful things for him. But it's still going to take some time. And you know, you talk about time at the pro level. When you see people go from last to first, quite often in the NFL or in any other professional sports with the right personnel, and I think they're going to be really competitive, and may have a chance to win the division, because you never know as far as injuries and those types of things are concerned. But I think if they can take care of the football and not turn that thing over, I mean, that's going to give them a chance, because I think Trubisky is going to take another huge jump this year, even though it's going to be the first year in the season.
Yeah, I kind of think that if they have 7 wins, that was my prediction as a base. 7 is a good number, because you can build off of that. That's not too low. That's not too high. I just think that first year, Trubisky's got to get them, you know, try to understand the playbook. I think he finally has weapons. That's the whole thing. It shows you, boy, if you might have a good enough running game, but if you don't have some kind of implementation of wide receivers, someone to throw to, that's what the offense looks like. And the Bears look terrible without receivers, without quality receivers that can stretch the field.
Yeah, I think Allen Robinson coming back from his injury, I think, you know, he can, you know, really get back onto the scene and be the big time productive receiver that he was before the injury, and even going back, you know, to his college days. So you're right. It takes that receiving group to be able to take that next step. And I think they'll be able to do it. They've got some quality guys at the position that should be able to stretch the field. And as you mentioned, if you can stretch the field and you can give your quarterback who can make all the throws, now all of a sudden you can't bring that extra guy into the box. You can't load it, dare you to throw it. You know, it really comes back to being a chess match between the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator to be able to make things happen. And, you know, I think they're in a good spot. You know, we still have to figure out whether or not, you know, how quickly can he pick up this offense, how quickly, you know, it's not really so much pick up the offense, But how quickly can you master it where you can go out and get your team in and out of bad plays and put yourself in a good position to continue to keep the sticks moving? Because the three and outs is really what hurts you as an offense.
Summer of Football with Howard Griffith, with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. When do you start going on the road to go to all of these camps in the Big Ten?
A month from today, Hoodie. I hit the bus. Wow. I'm on the bus. That's going to be like my vacation.
Right.
it's like vacation. I get to sit on the bus, have some pops, discuss, you know, the production schedule, and then go out and watch football in the heat.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm undefeated. I don't have to worry about it. I can say whatever I want. You know, I won't have to be held accountable as far as wins and losses are concerned. Hoodie, the first year DiNardo and I went out on the road for the Big Ten Network, so I think we're going in the 12th year. We picked everybody in the Big Ten that year to be bowl eligible. That's how nice we would be in every team.
I know.
everybody can get six wins. Everybody can get six wins. Now it's like, you guys got a long way to go. You know, it really is. I think now it really is about the haves and have-nots.
Mm-hmm.
When you really think about, you know, the way the conference is aligned right now, you know, we talk a lot about what, you know, the great job that Pat Fitzgerald has been doing, you know, at Northwestern. Now they've got these great facilities, but, you know, Barnett won the Big Ten. He won the Big Ten when it was, you know, still just one conference. He had all the teams, Ohio State, Michigan, all in your division. You know, Pat's trying to get to the Big Ten championship. And, you know, if he can get his quarterback back, Thorson, if he can get back healthy, I think I like what they've done defensively. This young kid, Patty Fisher, I think he's one of the best linebackers, not only to play the position, but I think he physically is built the way that a guy that can potentially have a great career on Sundays playing middle linebacker for Northwestern. So, you know, they've got some pieces there, but I think they're going to have to take that next step. They've got the beautiful facilities now. And I'm anxious to see what they can do coming up.
So staying on that theme for Northwestern, because I was going to ask you, because I have it written down, how much could their defense elevate them in the West? Because, they, as you mentioned, Patty Fisher and Nate Hall, terrific linebacking tandem. You got Joe Gaziano that's on this team as well, Miller as well. Do you think that their defense can help them out and be able to get them in the upper echelon in that in the West?
Well, I think they've got to get some help on the back end. Right? They lose a lot on the back end, so they've got to replace, you know, some secondary players that's ultimately going to help them. I mean, you can, if that back end is not right, then, you know, you just throw it around and complete all the passes you want to. It doesn't matter. The quick passes can go. But I think they've done a good job of recruiting over the last couple of years, so I think they have players that are going to be coming in that are going to have a chance to really step in and be able to make the impact that they're going to need. Because now when you look at the West, you look at Frost now with Nebraska, he's going to come in, he wants to spread the ball, but I'm telling you, he wants to really make that offense look like Ohio State, where you're just a dominant running game inside, but we can spread you out and throw the ball over and get it to our playmakers out in space, which he was able to do at his last stop. But now all of a sudden you add a power running game to that. And when I heard him talking about that, I immediately thought about the offense that Ohio State had when they had Ezekiel Elliott. So it's going to take a little time, but I think they're going to get there. Purdue may take a step back right now, but I think they have an outstanding system and coach in place to be able to go out and continue to be competitive. And you look at the Badgers, Hoodie. They could, depending upon what day of the week, what Saturday it is,
mm-hmm.
they literally could be the best team in the Big Ten. Now, Ohio State has more talent, more four or five stars than the Badgers do, but the Badgers are bringing back an offensive line that's second to none across the country, probably the best offensive line across the country.
Yeah, that which is amazing.
They're bringing back. Yeah, which is, it's unbelievable. And Jonathan Taylor, the sophomore this year, he'll be, you know, one of the guys that's going to be mentioned early as far as Heisman Trophy is concerned. And they finally, have playmakers at the wide receiver position. Guys that can go up and get it, stretch the field. They really had not been able to get those type of players. And I think that's one of the reasons you look at this Badger team. For me, they have to replace some things defensively in the secondary as well. But to me, that is a really talented football team. and they bring Alex Hornibrook back, who I expect to take another step forward as far as being a quarterback in this conference.
You, can you find me 6 wins on the schedule for Lovey?
Nope.
Come on, Howard.
Come on. I'm not taking a shot. I'm not taking a shot, but if you look at the schedule, no. You know, they got Kent State, Western Illinois.
Yeah.
Those, you know, they should win those games, right? USF?
Not,
Kent State?
No chance.
Rutgers? It's a toss-up at Rutgers. They got to go to Rutgers. Purdue? That's going to be tough because, you know, I just, Brahms, an unbelievable coach. Maybe they can get Maryland. Maybe Minnesota. Those are 50-50 games. But then you look at Nebraska, Iowa, Northwestern, you know, these teams have better players right now, currently, than the roster that Illinois has. And you, then for me, I also go back and I look at the quarterback position. They're bringing Thomas back. You've got some starts last year, but they don't have a guy back that I think that can make the difference from a quarterback standpoint yet. Titus might be able to get there. A.J. Bush, who was a transfer, who actually originally signed with Nebraska, went to junior college, went to Virginia Tech, then he's going to grad transfer to Illinois this summer. So he should be available for summer camp. So there's still some uncertainty. You got to have a quarterback, man, that can make plays. And I'm not talking about a guy that can be a first-round draft pick at the college, you know, to move on to the pro level. But you have to have a guy who is a winner at the college level and can make things happen, like a Trace McSorley that you look at. I mean, Trace, body-wise, you wouldn't be able to pick him out. If you saw him walking down the street, if you were up in Happy Valley at Penn State, you wouldn't be able to pick him out of a lineup or anything else. He's walking down the street. This is the star quarterback that's going to be in the middle of the Heisman Trophy race. But this kid is dynamic once he gets between the stripes. And he's got a kid that he's put a kid on the bench, Tommy Stevens, that probably could start for most of the teams in the country. But he's backing up Trace McSorley at Penn State right now.
When it comes to the East, I guess if you put – if you put Wisconsin's offensive line with Ohio State's defensive line, I could build a national championship that way, could I not? Because Ohio State probably has the best defense either in the Big Ten or definitely in the East.
Yeah, you look at them with your, with Nick Bosa. He'll be a top five pick, scary as it is.
Mm-hmm.
Chase Young, who's a sophomore this year, is going to be a dynamic pass rusher. You look at those guys. Those two guys are difference makers now. You go in the secondary, they have plenty of guys back there that have potential to be first-round draft picks. Talking about Ohio State secondary, which they've, you know, really made a name for themselves, really could be called DBU over the last several years. It seems every year they're putting a guy in the first round. But you look at Michigan from a defensive standpoint, they've got a lot of playmakers on there, particularly in that front seven. So I think it's a challenge to see who's going to be the most dominant when you look at those two teams. But I think the team that people will overlook this year will be Michigan State, who's returning a lot in all phases of their game, plus Brian Lewerke, who to me is, he's not getting the credit that he deserves, but he's one of if you take Tracy Swirley out of the conversation, I think you have to go to Brian Lewerke and say he's the best quarterback in the conference. You know, for what he does, he's really, you know, got a command of that offense, makes things happen, can pull the ball down. And I think the kid's got a chance, you know, to play on Sunday. But I think people are going to overlook what this Michigan State team has coming back. And it's right in the wheelhouse of Mark D'Antonio. Nobody's looking at for him. Everybody's talking about what Michigan's going to be able to do with Shea Patterson, who, by the way, has thrown more interceptions and touchdowns. But everybody still thinks he could be a potential first pick in next year's NFL draft. So we'll have to wait and see how all that shakes out.
All right, man. I'm going to catch you like in a sweaty Winnebago, like in at Rutgers next month. I'm going to try to find you in August.
Man, anytime, Hoodie, man. Be good, my friend.
All right. That is Howard Griffith, the 2-time Super Bowl champion and analyst for the Big Ten Network, with me, Jonathan Hood, here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So good. So good to just have that little college football primer. Ah, it's right around the corner. He could find 6 wins for Lovey.
Oh. Could you? Could you?
I'm just trying. No,
he was going down. I don't even know about the first two that he gave him.
He will drop. Lovey in Illinois will drop at least one of them.
have to at least win five games to show improvement, right? They won three last year.
I don't see five wins on the schedule.
You don't see five?
Kent State.
They only need three in conference after the first two.
Kent State, Western, South Florida. That's the non-conference.
They won't beat South Florida.
Oh, that's going. I see you gamblers out there. I see a field goal game in that Illinois Western yes. Illinois game. It's going to come down to the wire. And yes, no, that game is not in Macomb. If you're wondering, no, it actually is in Champaign. Y'all won't play? Come on up. Take your questions. Oh, man. Oh, come on, Lovey. Come on, Davis. Just give us a little something. Oh, my goodness, the schedule. Howard said Rutgers is a 50-50 game in Piscataway.
Oh, it's on the road?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind.
You're listening to Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Oh, no.
What do you got there?
This is your car.
My car? I said a 10-second car, not a 10-minute car.
Pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
Tales from the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Here we go.
Tales from the Hood is brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. The Wildcats return to Ryan Field this fall after a 10-win season to host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and more. Buy tickets now at NUSports.com. It's NUSports.com. Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. Come on, Davis. Come on. Can they beat Kent State, Illinois, at Memorial Stadium?
Maybe in the battle of the bands at halftime.
How about Western?
The Leathernecks?
South Florida?
You have to win that. South Florida, definitely not.
At Soldier Field, by the way.
But they could have some, you know, Illini fans could have good post-game parties downtown Chicago.
I don't think they're coming. I don't think. If it's any indication of when they come to United, when they used to come to UC for the basketball team.
Used to be packed with self.
Woo!
Packed. Every year. Now,
UIC played at Illinois at the UC.
Pretty good crowd with Weber, too. When he was
yeah. Quality.
Yeah.
Quality. So Howard beat him. So Howard Moore beat him at the UIC Flames. We had that red jacket on. That got Howard a contract.
I remember
extension.
That game.
Oh, yeah. Got Howard a contract extension. They just shut that game down very quickly. That's a non-conference. Come on, Lovey. Come through, man. Give us something. ILL, OSE.
You see six wins on the schedule, Howard?
Nope. That's what he told us. All right, Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, and everything else in between. Shows you how hard it is to recruit in college football, boy. All right.
A lot of this is behind the scenes or under the hood.
All right, let's see what we have here. Oh, Jimmy Iovine. Let me get this story out the way. Look, what is the – I don't know if you've seen this, Davis, the documentary – with Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine on HBO?
I have. It's fantastic.
I really recommend, highly recommend that documentary about Dr. Dre's career, Jimmy Iovine's career. I don't have the name of the
Defiant Ones.
The Defiant Ones. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The Defiant Ones. Check that out. If you are a fan of hip-hop, if you're a fan of business, actually, put the hip-hop to the side. If you're a fan of business, you will enjoy The Defiant Ones, a very good documentary there. All right. LeBron James yachting with Jimmy Iovine, billionaire boat club. See this picture here with Jimmy Iovine with his hat turned backwards. Also, LeBron James, his hat turned backwards. LeBron James may not be the richest guy floating off of the Amalfi Coast right now, but Jimmy Iovine just showed up. The music mogul was spotted on a yacht with LeBron on the 4th of July as the star continues to celebrate his $154 million contract. Pretty good company there. Right? A couple of moguls.
You think?
A couple of moguls. Well, I mean, LeBron's a terrific basketball player. He's still trying to work on that production company. Like, what's the hit out of the TV production so far for LeBron? Was that show that just got canceled?
Survivor's Remorse. the story about a basketball player that you never saw play a game on the show or take a shot.
Brutal. Brutal. I tried. That's a terrible show.
You couldn't make it?
Oh, gosh. I watched it for old girl from Martin.
Tashina Arnold.
I watched it for her.
And Mike Epps.
And for Mike Epps, too, yes.
Once he passed away in the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Indianapolis' own Mike Epps. I tried.
Yeah.
I couldn't. So bad. It's a LeBron. That's one of those LeBron failures.
Had to let it burn, huh? Pardon the expression.
Yeah, had to let it burn. It wasn't good, man. Yeah. It wasn't good. All right, we'll see what else we have here for Tales from the Hood.
Under the hood, behind the scenes, nobody really sees.
We have got Lamar Township, Pennsylvania. A man and a woman believed to be high on bath salts started firing bullets into the sky to chase away alien lasers, which were actually fireflies. Troopers say that after midnight on Saturday, Jesse Shields fired a .357 Magnum handgun as the lasers, quote-unquote, according to the Central Daily Times, that was the newspaper. Shields and Catherine McCloskey, fearing that they were being chased, ran by a nearby home, according to WNEP. Someone inside Clinton County house, in that particular house, called 911. The duo then ran into a neighboring home where the homeowner took away their gun. Shields allegedly asked the homeowner if he could take a shower to get the goo off him that was burning his skin. Troopers showed up and arrested Shields and McCloskey, both of Mill Hall. That's the area. They each faced charges of felony burglary, felony criminal trespassing, disorderly conduct, and public drunkenness, according to the Central Daily Times. McCloskey says also faces a count of misdemeanor DUI. So this man and woman believed to be high on bath salts, starting firing bullets at fireflies, or as we call them on the South Side, lightning bugs. Is this real?
We just used to catch those with our hands. Put them in a jar.
And watch them light up.
Watch them light up.
No, but to these people on bath salts, they were aliens from the sky. I mean, if you're high off of bath salts, I imagine they do look like the enemy.
Yes. Tiny UFOs.
You put them under the jail and let them just, that's what you do. If you're a police officer and you have to handle that story, if you got to be able to handle that case, you're just like, really? I mean, even Lamar Township, Pennsylvania, at least even that township has something to do. They shouldn't have to deal with that. You side with the police in that regard. Like, really? I got to deal with these dudes high off of bath salts that believe that lightning bugs, fireflies are aliens, and you're shooting at them? Really?
Under the hood, behind the scenes, nobody really sees.
From the Associated Press, burning bird falls from wire in Germany, torches dry field. Okay. So police say a burning bird falling from an overhead electronic line set fire to a field in northern Germany that was parched by dry weather, torching some 17 acres of land. Police in the Baltic Sea port city of Rostock said witnesses reported that the bird caused a short circuit in a railway power line and fell to the ground in flames. The neighboring field then caught fire, and more than 50 firefighters were deployed to tackle the blaze on Tuesday evening. Really? Really? Again, you are a firefighter, and you come to find out the guy in the trench coat that's got the yellow pad there that's going through what caused the fire. Was it some kind of arson? Let's take a look and see what it was. Nope, it's this burning bird falling from a wire that torched a field for 17 acres.
That's insane.
Devil's always working.
Always.
I mean, really? Some of these stories, I wonder if they're even real. But then again, if it's Associated Press, you got to go with it. That's the real deal. They don't care what side of the aisle they're on. They're going to report. They see it. They're going to report it.
I guess a bird in the hand is not better than two in the bush on that one.
Very, very well said. However, two in the bush has always worked for me. Feel proud of the expression.
Under the hood, behind the scenes, nobody really sees.
Driver tells police just a jogger not connected to the wreck. So police say that 19-year-old man flipped off. Let me see. A 19-year-old man flipped his car in Madison, Wisconsin, then fled the scene, removed some clothes, and pretended to be a jogger unconnected to the wreck. The Wisconsin State Journal reports that the unidentified man made a lane change Tuesday evening at the same time as another car. He overcorrected, hit the shoulder, and his car overturned. Mike Koval, he's the police chief, says that the suspect fled and removed some clothing. When officers caught up with him, he told them he was just an uninvolved jogger. That wouldn't work for me.
What did Shaggy say? It wasn't me.
Well, I don't think that would work for me if I ran away from it and I start jogging. They would say, no, there's no way you're a jogger, sir. Officers ticketed the man for failure to have control, hit and run, and operating the vehicle. Police say the test shows that the man was not impaired. How about that? This is not a drunken driving situation.
So he passed the test.
He's just a clown.
Did they test him?
Yeah. Say police tests show that the man was not impaired.
Just a bad driver.
19-year-old man flipped his car, fled the scene, and removed clothes, pretending he was just jogging.
So if my car flipped and I was in it, I would be petrified.
Right.
Petrified. Shaken.
Stirred.
This guy had the state of mind to say, let me grab my clothes.
Yes.
And act as if I wasn't the driver and I'm just jogging.
Right.
To avoid a ticket.
Yes. And the police called up and was like, where are you going? Whoa, where are you going? It's like, oh, I'm just jogging. No, I'm just... you know, work it out.
No, my man, the scrapes on your face say different.
No, I'm just working out, you know. Yeah, I got this half marathon I'm doing.
Yeah, so the blood on the back of your head from the glass just...
No, I'm going to be in Waukesha. And for this half marathon, it's for the kids at the Brat Stop, you know, and Kenosha. So we're doing this little half marathon. So I'm just getting my workout in.
Sir, we have witnesses, sir.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh,
Not to mention that you dropped your license on the scene.
Oh, my fault.
Under the hood, behind the scenes, nobody really sees.
Got these kids, you know, I've been doing it for the Brat Stop. And going to be in Waukesha, but, you know, it's in Kenosha. So we're going to have a great time. And I'm just getting my workout in, just trying to just do some stuff, you know. It's all good, right? I'm 19 and trying to stay in shape, you know. Yeah. You're guilty, sir. try a nice fake out, but no, it didn't work.
Oh, man.
All right, what do you have?
So, all of the news that you spoke about in our first segment, the 7 o'clock hour, with everyone being upset about the move of Boogie Cousins going to the Golden State Warriors and being upset about Golden State being ahead of everybody, the way they make moves because they're playing chess. Well, over the weekend, free agency, you saw a lot of NFL players making a lot of noise on social media about all the big money that was going to free agents. And they started complaining. And you heard the buzz about guaranteed contracts in the NFL from certain players. And TMZ caught up with one Todd Gurley coming out from dinner. And he spoke about that along as another prediction on Offensive Player of the Year.
Hey, Todd, man, do NFL players all deserve guaranteed contracts? Do you think everybody should get one?
Yes.
Yeah? What do you think it would take to actually get the league to turn around like and do that?
Lockout. Lockout a couple years.
Lockout. All right, yeah, man. That's heavy. Hey, do you impart any knowledge on Saquon in the gym?
Yeah, beast.
All that working out mean you get an Offensive Player of the Year again, Todd?
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, bro. Appreciate your time.
Look, first of all, you need to go sit down with your rep for the Los Angeles Rams and learn that the lockout is initiated by the owners.
Yep.
So if the owners lock you out, you're not getting a guaranteed contract. And for you to say 2 years, a couple of years, really? Are you really willing to not get paid for 2 years to get a guaranteed contract?
You see, the owners have their money, Todd.
Yes.
So they can afford to hold out. Sure, they don't want to see football, and sure, they want to get their money, but they can wait as long as you can. I would say that maybe the owners can wait longer than the players can.
I would second that motion.
I love Todd Gurley because he's a Georgia Bulldog, but clearly he did not pass math. Say it, man. I mean, really? I mean, unless he's got some kind of generational wealth I don't know about.
He got into a Black Rover, too, so maybe he has some type of other business, some other streams of income. He read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I don't know. Some type of inspiration.
No, I think it's funny that he just said off the, you know, off the top of his head, oh, just lock out.
And then 2 years. Lock out a couple of years. What?
Believe me, that dude got a lot of text messages from that. Players Association, from the top to bottom. Like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And that is Tales from the Hood right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I have the reason. I have it here. I don't know what you've heard. You're wondering why Kawhi Leonard wants a deal out of San Antonio. I know you've heard a lot of hyperbole. I know you had a lot of question marks. I have the actual reason why Kawhi would want to be out of San Antonio. That's the top of our 9 o'clock hour, along with Nick Friedel from Las Vegas.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Oh, say it again.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000.
We'll hear from Nick Friedel coming up at 9:10. Also hear from Jesse Rogers, who covers the Cubs for ESPN.com. We'll talk to him coming up at 9:35. Don't forget the Under the Hood podcast. If you're a podcast listener like I am, and I love podcasts because I drive long distances someplace, especially when I'm in UIC season, or we go to a lot of places around the Midwest and sometimes in the South, podcasts always come in handy. So if you're a podcast listener, go to the Under the Hood podcast with Jonathan Hood. Download it into your device. That way you never miss an episode of the show and never miss a special interview like with Cheryl Burton from ABC7. She was on the show. Great conversation with her. Terry Bores, 25 years of sports radio, 25 years as a columnist for the Sun-Times and other places. Great conversation with him. Nick Friedel, Scoop Jackson, Cedric the Entertainer was great on the show. We've had some terrific guests, so check it out. Download the Under the Hood with John the Hood podcast. If you haven't done so, please do so, and then share it. Let people know about the podcast. As if you're missing a show, you miss an hour, you miss a couple of days, it's okay. We've got it for you on the Under the Hood podcast with Jonathan Hood. The story of Kawhi Leonard next.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.